Today I'll be reading from Acts chapter 8, verses 26 through 30. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Rise and go toward the south to the road that goes from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert place." And he rose and went. And there was an Ethiopian and a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of Ethiopians, who has charge of all her treasure. He had come to Jerusalem to worship, and he was returning seated in his chariot, and he was reading the prophet over and joined this chariot. So Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and asked, "Do you understand what you are reading?" Let me see.
Good morning. It's a blessing to be able to be here and worship God together. In your copy of God's Word, open up to Acts chapter 8. We're going to be looking at this possibly familiar story of the conversion of the Ethiopian eunuch. Before we do that, though, let me say we're glad to have all visitors with us. We know we have some who have returned for Labor Day holiday, and we're thankful that you've been able to come back. We, of course, have some who are away traveling, and we wish them blessings on their travels. When we look at these familiar conversion stories in the book of Acts, many times we focus in on the human aspect and what the person did and how we need to apply that lesson to our lives. But this morning I want us to think about not specifically what the eunuch did and lessons we can learn from him, though we'll gain some of those things. I think it's natural for us to do that because we want to apply it to ourselves, and that's the person we most identify with is the eunuch and his conversion to Christ. But this morning I want to look at it from a little different angle. I want us to think about what lessons do we learn about God from this story. And what does this lesson then teach us about ourselves and about God's relationship with us and his desire for a relationship with us? Before we can truly look at these lessons about God, though, we need to review and read again the story of the Ethiopian eunuch. I appreciate Luke reading the first four verses, and I appreciate Benny doing such a good job leading us in singing. But let's look again at Acts chapter 8, beginning at verse 26. The angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Rise and go toward the south, to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza, for this is a desert place." He rose and went, and there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, a queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. And he had come to Jerusalem to worship. He was the treasurer for this queen of Ethiopia. He was also someone who had traveled a great distance, probably traveling in a round-trip fashion, probably as many as 96 to 120 days, if he traveled about 25 miles a day. Ethiopia was the land south of Egypt, called in ancient times the land of Cush. He had come a long ways. Apparently, he was a Gentile God-fearer. He may not have been a true proselyte because of him being a eunuch, but he was someone who was a Gentile who had decided to start following the God of the Jews. And he wanted to follow that God. And so he had gone to Jerusalem to worship. He was returning, seated in his chariot, verse 28, and was reading the prophet Isaiah. He had a scroll and was reading from Isaiah. And the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over and join this chariot." Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and asked, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And he said, "How can I, unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this. It's a quote from Isaiah chapter 53, verses 7 and 8. You understand that Isaiah 53 is that great messianic chapter that describes the coming suffering servant of Jesus. Verses 7 and 8 say this. Like a sheep he was led to the slaughter. Like a lamb before his shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth. And the eunuch said to Philip, About whom, I ask you, does the prophet say this? About himself or about someone else? So the eunuch was puzzled. Is the prophet talking about himself, or is he talking about a future person or someone else? And Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with this scripture, beginning with Isaiah 53, he told him the good news about Jesus. And as they were going along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch would say, "See, here is water. What would prevent me from being baptized?" We think about that in the King James growing up. What would hinder me from being baptized? Why can I not be baptized now? And he commanded the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. Notice some lessons on God from this story. There's five of these that I want us to notice. In the first place, we should observe that God is seeking souls. In the book of Acts, it is not primarily the work of men, but it is the work of men through the Holy Spirit of God, through God inspiring and conducting and guiding men to do His work. For example, in this story here, it begins with an angel telling Philip to go down to the road leading between Jerusalem and Gaza. So an angel was instrumental in this initial beginning of the conversion of the eunuch. We also see in verse 29 that the Spirit will say to Philip, "Go over and join this chariot." And so the Spirit speaks to Philip and tells him to go. And finally, we will see that the Spirit will miraculously carry away Philip in verse 39. So God is the one who is seeking out the salvation of the eunuch. It is God who has always been seeking us as humans. It is God who is the primary and first mover. In the Garden of Eden, after Adam and Eve have sinned, it is God who seeks Adam and Eve when they are hiding from Him. As we progress through the nation of Israel, Israel will constantly sin. God seeks constantly a relationship with Israel. And then ultimately He seeks the relationship with us in the coming of His Son. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. God is seeking souls. God wants people to be saved far more than you and I do. Have you thought about that? You want your family member, you want your friend, you want your coworker, you want them to be saved. But have you thought that God is also desiring and working providentially and through His Word and maybe through your example to bring about their salvation? That your prayers are going to go before the ears of a God who also fervently desires the salvation of people. God is a God of great grace and love. And this story illustrates the overall idea of the book of Acts, that God is seeking souls. But notice in the second place, not only is God seeking souls, but God is seeking all souls. Now that may sound a little bit redundant, but I want to emphasize the word all. This is a revolutionary concept in the book of Acts. God is moving outside the Jewish race. He is moving to the Gentiles. Before a Gentile convert will officially begin the gospel being open to the Gentiles in Acts chapter 10 and 11 with the conversion of Cornelius and his household, we have this Gentile man who himself was following the God of Israel, who was kind of, if you will, a halfway person. He was a Gentile but had converted to Judaism. He is going to be converted to Christ. But let's also think about who this man was. He was a eunuch. Now, Being a eunuch carried a great stigma in ancient times. He was a eunuch to a queen, which might explain why he was required to be a eunuch. He was over her treasury, so he is exceptionally wealthy. In the Old Testament, a eunuch was not allowed into the temple. So he traveled a great distance, but he himself was not able to go into the temple and worship. For example, in Deuteronomy 23, verse 1, and Leviticus chapter 21, 20, a eunuch was considered unclean and was ceremonially impure. So he himself could not go into the temple. Isaiah chapter 56, verses 3 through 8, forecast the future time, the messianic age, when even eunuchs will be able to worship God and be a part of the covenant people in the temple of God. Maybe that's why he was reading from Isaiah. He was an outcast of society in some ways and carried a stigma with that. God is seeking all souls. But also notice this man was wealthy. He was the treasurer. He was riding in a chariot. He had made a long journey. And he also was sitting in the chariot and reading from a scroll. Scrolls were rare, and personal scrolls were very unique in ancient times. You had to be very wealthy. He had a scroll. He was wealthy. He was also from Ethiopia. From Ethiopia was known as the far reaches of the earth. He was also probably, and highly likely, someone who was dark-skinned. We might say someone who was black. This created a tremendous distinction between him and the Jews. But notice, God is seeking all souls. God does not look at color differences. God does not look and see color in souls. God only sees souls. Notice that this man illustrates that God is seeking all souls today. He is seeking the wealthy and the poor. He is seeking all different types of nationalities, the Ethiopians, the Americans, the Mexicans, the Chinese. God is seeking all color types today. God is seeking all souls. We should observe this important lesson, as Peter would say in Acts 10, verse 34, that I perceive and I understand that God shows no partiality. He is seeking all souls. But number three, we should note that God reveals himself to tender hearts in his word. Notice that this was the age and time of miracles. In fact, we see miracles in this passage. An angel speaks to Philip. The Spirit's going to speak to Philip. And Philip is going to be carried away miraculously after this conversion. But God does not ever, in the book of Acts or in the New Testament, ever convey the means of salvation through a miraculous means. He always uses the same methods he uses today, another person. He uses his word. He uses the teaching of someone else to explain to them the gospel. God reveals himself to tender hearts. The eunuch was someone who had a tender heart. We see his tender heart in that he had been seeking God in worship. Some people won't get in our air-conditioned cars and drive to worship today. He spent months riding in a dusty chariot over dangerous roads so he could go up to where the temple was and worship. Some people in our nice leather-bound Bibles or in our electronic phones and iPads have the Bible available to us in every version available, have it at our fingertips, yet we rarely read them. The eunuch had a very rare possession, the scroll, that he had somehow desired to get and had obtained. And while he was writing, he was spending his time reading the scroll. He was an honest-hearted person who was seeking God. God reveals himself to honest-hearted people who say to people like he said to Philip, how can I understand unless someone guides me? How can I understand unless someone teaches me? The eunuch was teachable, and God is seeking out people who are teachable today. God can use you to reach people like Philip was used to reach the eunuch if you will open up your heart to look and to share God's word with others, to take them where they are, what they are reading, and say, do you understand what you are reading? And to open up God's word and study together and explain to them about Jesus. In Isaiah 53, the passage he was reading, we can't look at all this passage because of time, but it describes Jesus. But I want to look right after he was reading, because in verses 7 and 8, we read those where it quotes those in Acts. But it says he began at that scripture. Well, let's just imagine he continued to read. Verse 9, they made his grave with the wicked and with the rich man in his death. He could have talked about the burial of Jesus and the death of Christ between two thieves, and about how he was buried in the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea. Verse number 10, yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief. When his soul makes an offering for guilt, he shall see his offspring. He shall prolong his days. He could talk about the resurrection of Jesus, how his days were prolonged. And the will of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. For out of anguish of his soul he shall see and be satisfied. For by his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous. And listen to this. He shall bear their iniquities. I can imagine Philip beginning at this very scripture and talking about the death of Jesus, about the burial of Jesus, and the resurrection of Jesus, and then describing the meaning of that death, burial, and resurrection, that he was atoning our sins, bearing the sins of the eunuchs upon his back, as he died for the eunuch and for us. And then he could continue to read and read in the end of this chapter. Yet he bore the sins of many and makes intercession for the transgressors. And now Jesus has ascended. He is interceding for us on high between man and God at the right hand of the Father. Notice, God reveals himself to tender hearts in his word. Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Brethren, we need to encourage people to get back in the Bible. We're doing our His Word study this year and preaching on Sunday nights through that, where we're encouraging people to read the Bible. Faith comes by hearing. If you want your faith to be increased, if you want to convert someone, you need to get them in the Bible. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We need to understand that God works today just like He worked then, not in a miraculous measure. He's not going to give a vision in the night or a sign in the sky. He works through His Word, revealing Himself to tender hearts who are open and teachable to learning about Jesus. And notice he preached Jesus. He preached an understanding of the basic things someone needs to know. Which leads us to number 4. God's plan is simple. God's plan is not complicated. Notice in Acts chapter 8 that after hearing this sermon, in hearing this story and understanding it, the eunuch will say, verse number 36, they were riding along, they come by some water, and the eunuch says, see, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized? I want you to observe that he had learned that he needed to be baptized by hearing the message of Jesus. If we preach Jesus and don't preach that baptism is a part of the plan that Jesus has prescribed, we're leaving out preaching Jesus. We're not preaching the whole message of what we need to do to respond to Jesus. Because Philip preached Jesus, and after hearing Jesus preached, the eunuch said, "Here's water, what do I need to do to be baptized? Why can't I be baptized? What prevents me from being baptized?" God's plan is simple. Notice that the eunuch did not have to know everything. The eunuch needed to know the good news. That's what the angel told him to go, to preach and show him these things. He did not know, I'm sure of, all the details about how to live as a Christian. I'm sure he didn't understand all about the end of time and how Christ was going to come back. I'm sure he did not understand the full nature and identity of the church. Sure, he did not understand all about the Godhead. And you would say, I'm probably in that group with him, right? We don't understand many of those things ourselves. And we've been studying the scriptures for years. What did he know? He knew that he was a sinner. He knew that Jesus had died and been raised the third day for his sins. And thirdly, he knew what he needed to do to respond to Jesus. He needed to hear the word of God. He needed to believe in Jesus, that Christ is the Son of God. He needed to be willing to repent. The preaching of Jesus involves repentance. You've got to change your life. Luke 13:3, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. He needed to know that he needed to confess Christ is Lord and be public with that confession. And finally, he understood, and Philip preached to him, that he responded to Jesus through immersion in water to contact the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Peter had proclaimed to those people, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission or forgiveness of your sins. This man had sins. He wanted to get his sins remitted. He wanted to get his sins washed away. He sees water. He says, why do I need to wait anymore? Notice, just like in other conversion accounts of Acts, the baptism was not put off for weeks. There was not a salvation experience, and then he was saved, and later on he was baptized. No. We see that he says, there's water. What prevents me from being baptized? Both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and both of them come out of the water. God's plan is not complicated. It's simple. We see this in the story of the eunuch. We see it all throughout the New Testament. God is seeking souls. He is seeking all souls. He reveals himself through the word of God. And number four, God's plan is simple. And last, God's plan leads to rejoicing. If you look to the end of the story, we find that verse number 39, after they come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more. And he went on his way rejoicing. Went on his way rejoicing. Notice that by obeying this simple plan, he goes from someone who did not understand what Isaiah 53 meant. He didn't know who Isaiah 53 was talking about. Now, he might have been studying because he might have heard things back in Jerusalem that made him curious about Jesus. But he left rejoicing because now he had a Savior. He was saved. He now was a convert to Jesus Christ. He was now accepted in the temple of God that is prepared for us ultimately in heaven. He's accepted in the church of God. You see, he is now saved. What a rejoicing. What a reason to rejoice. When you do things God's way, it will lead to rejoicing and to good things. Think about that. What rejoicing there is for the soul winner and for the soul that is saved. When you do things God's way, it leads to rejoicing and peace in your heart. The conversion stories are in Acts are all about God reaching out with his grace and rescuing a lost person. God is the one who is moving. God is the one in Acts chapter 2 who inspires the apostles. God is the one who sends Philip to reach the eunuch. God is the one who reaches Saul on the road to Damascus. God is the one who is moving throughout the book of Acts. And so, I ask you this morning, do you realize that God is seeking you? God is seeking you. God is seeking your soul. God is revealing Himself, and He will reveal Himself every day to you if you'll open up His Word and have a tender and honest heart. Do you realize that God's plan is simple? It's not complicated. And do you realize that you can leave here this morning rejoicing all because God is seeking you? This morning, if you're not a child of God, if you have not obeyed the gospel as the eunuch obeyed the gospel, please, please, take that step. Put Christ on in baptism to have your sins washed away. If you've left the Lord, you've fallen away, and you need to come back to the church, rededicate your life. We're going to sing a hymn to encourage you. If you have any need, please come as together we stand and as we sing.